Welcome to the Body Smart Podcast. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Jamie.
And if you have ever struggled to get motivated to take control of your health and fitness, this podcast episode is for you. Big question today.
Okay.
Huge question.
Okay.
How do you get motivated?
That
you know,
is...
when it comes to your health, your fitness, not necessarily your mindset, because I think that comes from another place, but you know, like if you've been off the wagon for a long time, how the heck do you pull your finger out your ass and get motivated?
It's a good question. And it's probably a very frequent question that comes up, like a lot. Probably every time I say this about couple questions we've covered on the podcast, one of those ask me your questions up on Instagram. How do I get motivated? I'm in a rut. You know, what have I got to do? How can I be motivated all the time? The truth is you can't.
No. There we go. End of podcast. Bye.
No, end of podcast. Bye. See you guys. I'm well.
See you on the next episode. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
No, you know, motivation's finite. You know, it comes and goes. I think sometimes you look at certain people and like, they just seem to be motivated all the time and just get shit done. And it's like, that's what people want to be like. But, you know, there's that famous quote, isn't it? Like, motivation can get you started, but like habit keeps you going. And I think...
I like that. Say it again.
Motivation can get you started, but habit is what keeps you going.
Expand on that. Go on, explain.
So, you know, you could watch a YouTube video. You might listen to this podcast. You might feel really motivated. And it's like, hell yeah, I'm going to go and smash my goals with my health and fitness. And that might last for like a day or two. And then you might have a bad night's sleep. And then your kid might do your head in. And then your husband might do your head in. And your boss might be a prick. And you're just like, oh, life. You know what I mean?
Back to the sofa and the kettle chips I go.
Yeah. And you're just like, and that is where then the motivation is gone. You know what I mean? And now it's just like, ugh. So the only way to keep the consistent action then is to have habits. The habits that keep you on track. Like you're almost running on autopilot. You do these things regardless of how motivated you are. And that is what keeps you going. So motivation, you know, it does come and go at certain times. And it's just very important to make sure that you're building healthy habits that align with your values and things that you want to achieve.
You said there about, oh, you look at some people and you think, oh, they just seem to get shit done. They're always motivated. I'm looking at one right now. You are one of those aliens who just, I don't know where you get your energy from. I don't know how you keep going. So how do you do it?
Yeah, good question. I definitely I didn't used to operate the way I do now. It's definitely taken years and years and years to
of habits by any chance.
Yeah, and just like slowly becoming more self-aware and, you know, reflecting on certain things and understanding like, right, if I ignore this, then it starts to have a knock-on effect. So, you know, used to really get really poor sleep all the time, and you know that if I slept really poorly, maybe I wouldn't show up for a workout, or I would work out not with the same intensity. So I was like, oh, right, so if I start fixing, you know, get better sleep, maybe I'll show up more consistently with workouts, then I'll be more productive in work and I'll have more time. And it's like, oh, right, so it started to, you know, figure out a bit of a blueprint and a bit of a map to be like, right, what are the things that almost need to become a non-negotiable for me? Because if I do neglect those things, then it's going to start to have a knock-on effect in a negative sense across the board with my whole life. And some of them for me are sleep is up there is a huge one. You know, I can definitely have a couple of nights between like 5 and 7 hours, but if I do that for like 2-3 days consistently, and shout out to all you parents, massive respect. You know what I mean? Because sometimes that just isn't the choice with kids. But you know, if I have a couple of nights where I get like 5 or 6 hours sleep, you know, coming into that third or fourth day, I can just feel like everything just feels harder. It feels harder to get out of bed.
On that, right, with the sleep, out of interest, do you get up at the same time every day?
Yeah, most of the time. And try to do that over weekends. There's lots of research into this, like about your, one of the things, the first things they get people to do who are like clinically depressed is like get up at the same time every day.
Doesn't
really necessarily mean that you have to go to bed at the same time, but they advise that you get up at the same time. Start your circadian rhythm, start your circadian clocks, and then it can make it makes a real, real big difference. So,
because I track my sleep on my hour ring, and that is one of the things that they mark about getting up at the same time every day.
Yeah,
because if you look at my sleep times and sleep scores, it's like between 5 and 6 hours. It's terrible.
Yeah,
Sunday to Thursday, and then like the Saturday Sunday kind of sleep scores are a lot higher because I get up later.
Yeah.
But with
so that can have a negative knock-on effect. And
okay.
This is, there's all, the, I'll I don't know what the study is.
We'll find it and we'll put it in the show notes.
Which is basically like a lot of people are making a lot of things harder for themselves in regards to their sleep cycles because Monday to Friday, they're going to bed too late, but they're having to get up at the same time each day for work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not getting enough sleep. Then they sleep more on the weekend. So they mess up their circadian clock because they used to say getting up at 7 o'clock Monday to Friday. But then on the weekend, they feel like they need to catch up on sleep. So they sleep until 9, 10 o'clock. But then when it rolls around to Monday morning, it's harder for them to get up at 7 o'clock again because they just slept in till 10 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday.
I get that, right.
So, you know, your body does have this internal clock. I've done it sometimes where I've woke up in the middle of the night. I'm like, it's probably like 4 a.m. I look at the clock and it's like 4 a.m. And I'm like, what the hell? It's weird.
Yeah.
You know, and some people do have that on the weekends. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. They wake up on a Saturday and like, I wanted to sleep in.
Yeah, and you've woken up at the same time and your alarm normally goes off.
You know, so your body does have this natural internal clock and staying within, you know, that's having a more consistent pattern does help with your overall energy levels, your overall mood, and has a big impact. So sleep is definitely one of those things that allows me to stay more consistent.
And motivated. And I think, so what I want to ask you is, because what I tend to do, I do tend to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lose motivation, so for example, I had a week off work recently where I was getting up a little bit later than normal because I was off work.
Of course, yeah.
Normal,
yeah,
fair enough.
Very normal.
But coming back to work the week after, it was really hard to get back into my routine of not just getting up on time, but then being motivated to work out because I'm one of those people that I have to do it first thing in the morning. Otherwise, it doesn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't get done. I need to do it before I go into work mode.
Yeah, I completely get that.
I have different modes. You know, I'm mum mode at times, I'm work mode, and I'm gym bitch mode. And gym bitch comes out at 6 o'clock in the morning. So she has to get up at 5, do a gym and then a meditation and all that, and get ready for the gym. But if I've got like a rest day, I know that sometimes I can think, oh, I'll just set the alarm for 6.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is that actually that's possibly and potentially not the best course of action.
It's tough. I think an hour, you know, probably isn't going to make a huge difference.
Okay.
But if you're like, you know, getting up at 7 every day through the week and then staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning on the weekend and getting up at 10, 11 o'clock, you know, those big differences and change in circadian rhythms, you know, can have a negative impact, not just on your overall physical health and energy, but your mental health as well. And there's a lot of research and studies to back this up. So sleep, when we talk about motivation, everyone knows, you know, I think I've said this before on a podcast, like one of the questions I used to ask clients when I used to first speak to them on a call, I'd be like, you know, how many hours sleep do you get a night? And they'd be like, you know, maybe like 5 or 6 or 7. And I'd be like, you know, how many hours sleep do you feel like you need? And they'd be like, maybe like 6 or 7. And then I'd be like, how much sleep do you need to feel your absolute best? And like a lot of them would pause because they sometimes couldn't even remember when is the last time I had the absolute best night's sleep.
Yeah.
And then next minute, it's probably like 7 to 9. You know what I mean? Like that's probably the range that some people end up coming back to. And it's like, that is what you want to be leaning into because nobody feels the best when they have a poor night's sleep. If you have 5 hours sleep tonight, you know, you might be able to get up tomorrow and just be all right and just ride it through, but you'd feel better if you had 8. You know what I mean? And it's like, if you have 5 hours sleep and you go to a workout, I'm not saying that you still can't have a fantastic workout, but if you have 5 hours sleep a couple of nights on the bounce, you're just not going to have that same push and enthusiasm in the gym with your day. Your mood's just going to be dampened. Like it's going to have a knock-on effect to absolutely everything. So I think a huge part of just general motivation is great quality sleep.
What else then? What else is part of general motivation? How else can we get off our asses?
For me, exercise, you know, just that exercise for me feels like that reset when I work out in the morning. It just feels like all the stress has gone away. I've got this natural wakefulness off it and energy and I feel a lot more optimistic and positive. So, you know, exercise is huge. These are things that we've spoken about lots of times.
But, you know, with that, with you, because you are somebody, you've spoken about this, you don't tend to go more than a couple of days without working out.
Yeah.
What's the longest break you've had from exercise in your grown-up adult life? Because you've been training since you were 15. And I know you've always trained really hard. It's part of your identity and who you are.
Yep.
So therefore you're a bit of an alien, not a normal person like me who goes through these fits and starts of it. So for you, like you're, when it comes to working out, because we're talking about motivation in general here, but we have kind of focused on working out and exercise. Like you're not somebody who has suffered really, are you, with the struggling with the motivation to work out?
I definitely know because of what, like, after a couple of days of working out, and it always depends on like lots of other things that are going on. So if I eat really, and this just comes down to self-awareness, I know if I eat really like shitty, crappy food, like high palatable, high sugar, high fatty foods, you know, takeouts and stuff. If I eat loads of that, if I drink alcohol, if I don't move as much, like walk and stuff, I almost have like, if you imagine this like bar, it's like when once I hit like a certain point, it's like I turn into another version of me. I sound like a crazy person. I just turn into a more depressive, irritable person. I don't like who I am. I really don't like that person. I need to go and blow off some steam, which is exercise for me. If I'm being really active, I'm outdoors, I'm, you know, eating great food and drinking lots of water and doing all those other things, I can probably go longer, like 4 or 5 days and not feel and feel okay still. I've actually noticed recently that I can actually get that same sort of effect from a sauna. I don't know if it's just like 20-25 minutes in the sauna, that excessive sweating. So that's, and that sort of helps. But no, probably in the last 15 years, I've probably never gone more than 5 or 6 days without working out. And I don't plan on that ever changing. It does too much for me physically and mentally. It keeps me in a great headspace, keeps me mentally focused, keeps me physically in a good place. So, you know, that is my motivator to do that.
Because when I was off last week and our podcast, not the last one, the one before, we talked about diet breaks and you suggested that I go on a diet break. And your famous last words were, it's not an excuse to go and eat what the fuck you want. And so you put me on a diet break. And it was like, oh my God, hallelujah. Yeah. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
And then it was like a perfect storm. I had a week off work. I'm on a diet break. Mm-hmm. There were storms going on. Yep. So all of my activity, I'd planned an active week. We were planning to do mountain biking and hiking and all this. And it was, the weather was awful. There was a mini tornado where we live, which never happens, by the way, in the UK. It was that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So my motivation went in the toilet because all of my usual routines and habits went out the window. I was getting up later. We went to the cinema and I stuffed my face with popcorn because I'm on a diet break. I can do that. And then I became that version of me that I don't like. And it was 6 days before I ended up working out again. But for me, getting back into my getting motivated again was about getting back into my routines.
And I think that ties into that quote we said before, motivation can get you going, but motivation can get you started, but habit can keep you going.
Yeah.
A great way to find consistency with, because your health and fitness is a lifelong game. You have to just remember that this isn't a 12-week plan. This isn't just a transformation to lose 40 pounds. This is a lifelong game, and you want to get it to a point where you feel like, I can do this on autopilot, and I do it for lots of reasons that positively impact me and the people around me. So you have to look at it that way, and you almost have to create a balance of order and chaos. You know, and it's when you're looking at certain parts, like when you took that week off, you know, you lost the order of the routine of your job and your week.
Yeah.
And then there was other things that played in, like the weather and other. So the tipping scale of order and chaos tipped more into chaos, and it felt more difficult to do the things that you normally do. And this is something that we see all the time when, you know, clients go on vacation or holiday, or around Christmas is a big one when people have a lot of time off. You know, that tipping scale of order and chaos, well, I've not got to get up at a certain time tomorrow. Mm. Oh, when will I do my workout? So, you know, when you're not feeling motivated, you know, one of the best things that you can do is to create some sort of structure. You know what I mean? Like if you say, right, like how many times, like what, like, and I always start with not the most, like what's the least that you can commit to? So what's the least that you can commit to next week with when it comes to workouts or when it comes to steps? So, you know, look at your phone, on your phone, right? You're doing 4,000 steps a day, right? Can you commit to 6, 7? Like what can you 100% say that you could do with absolute certainty, right? You could do 7,000 steps a day. Cool. Plan that in next week in your diary. Like, when are you going to go for a walk? When are you going to get those steps up? If you're only doing 4, how are you going to make up those other 3,000 steps? Figure it out now. Take away that decision fatigue for next week. Figure it out. Right, when are you going to go and do your workouts? Well, maybe you go and see your mum on Tuesday. Right, so I can't go Tuesday. Okay, so I've got Monday, Wednesday, and then maybe I'll do one on the, you know. And I would always say, by the way, if you can, always do more of your workouts at the start of the week, not the end.
So true.
And if you can start on a Monday, always like start the week with, you know, good intentions. Get that workout in first thing Monday. It starts you on the front foot. Just create a level of order, create a level of structure and a plan, and plan for success. You know, take those decisions out the week before and put a plan in place to allow you to go and succeed. And then if you can, you know, create some accountability, whether that's with yourself, whether that's with a friend, whether that's with a training partner, and put that in place and start taking those actions. And the more, you know, most of the time when people feel overwhelmed, which I think sometimes it's like, I feel overwhelmed, where do I start? Mm. I'm not motivated. You know, often you have a lack of a plan, a lack of a routine or an unrealistic time frame, which I think for a lot of people on the health and fitness journeys, I need to lose all this weight in such a short space of time.
3 days.
It's got to happen right away. You know, I need to go to the gym and work out 6 times. I need to do all the things, you know, there's that like all or nothing mentality that comes into it. And, you know, most of the time that just cripples people from even starting, you know, and that's why they feel like they need this surge of motivation. When in reality, you just took a step back, you know, we're really realistic with yourself and what you can do and just started there and started adding building blocks, you know, a little bit more with maybe your steps, a little bit more intensity in your workouts, but just being consistent. Like we said, this is a lifelong game. So, you know.
So, right. I'm going to pretend I am Amanda. We like to give our client, our typical Body Smart client, she's called Amanda to us internally. Mm-hmm. We love her loads. Let's pretend I'm Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm a mum.
Yeah.
Right. I work a crazy job. I'm not very good at asking for help. I'm a bit of a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm describing myself here right now. I struggle with overeating because I don't realise that I'm stressed. So I'm eating to soothe when I'm stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got 40, 50 pounds to lose.
Yep.
And I keep trying things.
Mm-hmm.
I find things online and I sign up thinking it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And I tried to commit to a plan. And like you say, I was going to do 6 workouts a week and drink Herbicide and all that.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to tell Amanda right now to stop, aren't we?
Yeah, yep.
What's the plan from, not Monday, because diet doesn't start Monday. What's the plan? Does the plan start now? Does the plan start tomorrow? What are you going to prescribe for me?
You know, this is where it really just never is a one-size-fits-all answer, because health is so multifaceted. You know, people have got so many different, can start at so many different points, and I've got, you know, so many different levels of responsibilities and all these different things. You definitely need to be realistic with what you actually can commit to. And often when people find that like they commit to like what's the least they can commit to, they actually start to find more space, you know, through just being a little bit more structured. So, you know, it's, you've got to put those things in place. I mean, I think you've got to create a level of intrinsic and an extrinsic motivation, which we've spoken about before. And, you know, often the reason people start in the first place is that it's just become maybe too painful to stay where they are currently are.
Yeah.
You know, and pain can be a great motivator in the beginning, but often as you do start to see maybe your body change or things get a little bit easier, you know, that pain tends to alleviate. And that's why it's very important to have those intrinsic motivators to keep us going.
We had a conversation about this, actually. If you remember, I've got a friend who was writing out some goals, and I talked to her about the SMART goals process. Would you like to just quickly explain our SMART goals process? Because we do it a little bit differently to the corporate SMART goals.
Yeah. I mean, if we really want to, I could do my little, you know, my Huberman drawing that I've done.
Yeah, but I want you to talk about.
That kind of ties into it. So I drew this thing of like how to maximize motivation. And basically, you know, a lot of this was around seeking clarity. So, you know, having clarity on the things that you want to achieve. So that's not just like how much weight you want to lose or the body that you want to have. It's like, who's the person you want to be? Like, what are the character traits that you want to be? You know, maybe you look at these people online, like, how have they got these habits or these consistencies? They were probably just like you one day. You know, they just took small incremental steps over months and months and months and years and years and years to become that person. So, you know, list out the habits that you want to have, the character traits that you want to have. You put these, all this, you know, the body you want to have, the weight you want to be, whatever it is, you can put down all these, you know, positive things that around the goal that you want to achieve. And then you can draw a line backwards almost to where you currently are right now. And you could look at that and be like, wow, that's pretty overwhelming. You know, like, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, where the hell do I start?
Yeah. Like, how am I just, yeah. Where do I start? You know, and but you can look at that, and that's this is sometimes what people hyper-focus on, which is the positive side of things, which is like, these are all the things I can achieve. This is the great, you know, the ultimate goal, as we like to say sometimes at Body Smart, that we want to achieve. And that looks great on paper. It also can look very overwhelming at time. But to actually truly maximize motivation, we have to draw a line backwards as well. So this is where you currently are right now. But like, if you just stay where you're at, things, you don't just stay where you are. If you're not going forwards, you're going backwards. And that is how it is.
Right. So what is the cost of not taking action, basically?
You know, so if you've got 40 pounds to lose, well, if you like, if you don't take action for the next 6 months, have you now got 50 pounds to lose?
Yeah.
For a year, 60 pounds to lose. And then you can actually write down, like, you know, what's the cost of not taking action? And that's often that it will cost more time. It will cost more energy. It will be harder. The likelihood of you actually achieving the goal becomes less likely because it's just, you know, as we said that saying before, you know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. You've got to have that growth mindset and not be fixated in your ways, which just gets harder and harder and harder over time if you keep adhering to the habits that have got you in the position that you're at. So you can write down all the things that you're doing wrong. And actually, what is the outcome of that if you don't take action? Like, do your health markers get worse? You know, does your life expectancy go down? These are all like things that people don't want to talk about, but they're very real. They are very, very real. You know, in the UK and in the US, we are in the middle of an obesity, epidemic. We just are. People don't like to talk about it because there's fat shaming and all these other things. That's just the reality. That is like what will happen if you continue to not take action. So you have to, you know, realize, and a big saying that I always sort of try and live by, like, it's not necessarily your fault, but it is your responsibility. So where you're at right now, you know, it may not be your fault that you've grown up with bad habits or a million other things that could have happened to you and you're in the position you are, but it is your responsibility to look at this and be like, if that's not the route I want to go down or the road I want to go down, then something has to change. So the reason I've brought up the pain is because if we can use like the paradise, which is all the positive things that you can achieve, and we can also use the negatives, and you can actually write these down and draw where you're at, you know, maybe somewhere in the middle, you've now got a clear idea of, right, like, here's all the, like, the dream outcome and here's like the, what do you even call it? Like the
nightmare.
The nightmare that can happen if you don't take action. And the reason you're doing this is, one, to seek clarity, because you know now the goals that you can achieve and want to achieve, and you can achieve them. But you also can now raise necessity through the pain of the things that you don't want to achieve. So then it's now a case of drawing out a plan of, like, right, how do we start taking a step towards that goal? Because it does feel extremely overwhelming. It might take you a year, it might take you two, it might take you five. But guess what? If you're 40 years old and it takes you 5 years to get to your goal, you're 45, average life expectancy is 80 years old. You got 35 years of good living. You know what I mean? One of our clients put a testimonial up the other day. She's going just about to turn 70 and she's like, after getting my health and fitness in check, I feel like I'm going to have my best decade at 70.
Kathy,
I got
Starr.
Goosebumps. I got goosebumps saying that.
She's amazing. You Kathy, if you're listening, Kathy, she's just awesome. Yeah. Have a look. If you go to @teambodysmart on Instagram, have a look. Listen to her story because it made us all cry.
Yeah.
She's just ace.
And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because, you know, I'm trying to help everyone listening flex that patience muscle, and the fact that, you know, this isn't a 6 week plan or a 12 week plan or a 1 year plan for a lot of people. If you've got 15 years of bad habits, it's probably going to take a little bit of time, and you need to manage your expectations. And, you know, in the macro, which is like in the bigger picture of things in life, like, it's probably going to take a couple of years to really get your shit together and be the person you want to be. But in the micro, which is today and next week, start doing frigging work. You know what I mean? Like, get to work. So that's, you know, the macro is the bigger picture of what you're trying to achieve. You know, and whether you're doing that for your family, for your kids, for your life expectancy, for your own health, for your mental health, for your physical health, all those positive things, you know. So coming back to it though, so we're in the middle, we're in this middle point, and now we've got this overwhelming goal. So what we do with clients is we break this down into something called SMART goals. So SMART is an acronym, and the way we do it at Body Smart is we do S, which is specific, M is meaningful, so the meaningful reason why you want to achieve those specific goals. A is action. So what actions have we got to take to achieve those specific goals? And then R is reward. So we like our clients to give themselves a reward, because I think we can all be guilty of, you know, achieving something we set out and then not even pausing for a second and giving ourselves a pat on the back.
Yeah.
We always make sure this isn't food focused though. You know, it's something different. And then T is time. But what we actually do is we break this down into like months, because a month goal is very attainable and very achievable. You got, you know, 50 pounds to lose. Okay, so this month we're going to aim to lose 5. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I can lose 5 pounds. Right, what are my specific, measurable, actionable goals? Cool, I'll write them down. Lose 5 pounds, maybe a couple others, performance goal in there, maybe a habit, maybe something around your language. And then, you know, the actions, what actions have you got to take in order to achieve those goals? So we break it down. you've just tunnel vision now, focus, you've seeked clarity, which is that 1 month's SMART goal. You've got high levels of necessity because all the positive things that you can achieve if you achieve these goals, but also all the negative things that if you don't take action, I think sometimes it's important to read that shit every day, to be aware of like what your goals are and what the consequences are of if you plan to go to the gym after work one day and you've got your goals stuck in your car and you get in the car and then you see like, you know, like you just read like what your goals are, the meaningful reason why it's like, right, I don't want to go to the gym. But I'm going to go. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, you're just reminding yourself of like what you need to do, what you need to achieve. And that is how you're going to really build character. And that's going to be really important to really transform from the inside out. So you set that SMART goal, you hit that one goal. Great. Literally, you've just got to now repeatedly do that 9 more times. And when you're at your goal.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so powerful about them. I mean, I don't mind sharing mine because I have mine on my phone wallpaper. Let me just... I'm just going to say this in case it is. Can you remember what my reward was? I don't think it was this month. It was last month.
I think I can.
I put hotel sex. I don't mind telling you. Because you always have the best sex when you're in a hotel because you're not worried about the laundry. You're not thinking about your kids and you can have a nice time. So yeah, that was my reward that I put down and I can't wait to go and cash that one in. Mine are, so S, my SMART, the specific part was lose 4 to 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. Leg press, 210 kilograms for 12.
Strong.
Oh, yes. Yes, strong. Run 10K like a boss.
Like a boss.
And reduce stress to a 5 out of 10, because at the time of doing this with my coach Kelly, I was a 6.5.
Nice.
So okay. I like them. They're very, very specific.
Now, and measurable as well.
Measurable too. So M is meaningful. So this is your why. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I've got a couple and I don't mind sharing them. I've got two really. So my biological father died at 61.
Yep.
We weren't close. We were completely estranged. And I don't know 50% of my genetic makeup because we were estranged. Mm. And he had heart issues and lots of problems. Mm-hmm. And I worry about my genetic health. Yep. So basically, one of my meaningful, you know, my why is because I don't want to fucking die early.
Well, I think it's like, you know, in terms of what can lead to early death in terms of before your life expectancy, 20 to 25%, I think, is genetic, but about 75% is lifestyle. So
really?
That
makes me feel... I didn't know that. That makes me feel so much better. I feel like my shoulders have just gone down a little bit because it does worry me massively.
Yeah, you know, so obviously, you know, genetics play a massive role. Mm. Like my granddad's like 92 and eats 2 bars of chocolate a day and smokes 20 fags, cigarettes. you know what I mean? I just like, how are you still going? But he is. And he still walks like 7 miles a day, which is just crazy. But so genetics very much maybe there on that side, but, you know, lifestyle plays a huge role, huge role. And I think for a lot of people and a lot of our clients, that is important. If you've got kids, you don't want to be that parent who passed early. And, you know, it's even though it's painful and stuff, it's like you can, obviously there's loads of things that are outside of our control. Famous saying is, you could get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, you could, but you could also stack the chips in your favor that, you know, a lot of these other health issues don't happen to you by looking after yourself. And we're not saying it's easy. And that's why I'm trying to really frame to people.
Definitely not easy.
I'm just trying to frame to people that like, stop looking for the quick fix.
Yeah.
Like you're looking for motivation because you feel like you need to achieve your goals in 6 weeks. No.
No.
Like, look at you, like most people, I would say, because they used to do this around business, like what is it? Most people overestimate what they can do in a year, but underestimate what they can do in 10 years. I thought of like flipping this round around, you know, health and fitness. I think most people overestimate what they can do in like 6 weeks, like a 6 week transformation, but underestimate what they could do in a year. And I just think that is the case. If you just started taking our famous thing that we took from James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, getting 1% better every day. If you just did that from today for 365 days, 1 year, which is going to pass anyway, you could be in such an incredible place.
Yeah.
Such an incredible place with so many aspects of your health and fitness. And a year is nothing.
It's not.
It's just not.
It's not at all. But yeah. It's on the top of the SMART goals here. Jacob, which camera? Should I put that there? Yeah. That one. So they're my SMART goals there. Mm. And it says, you know, 1% better every day. So going back to my meaningful, my why, the one about my real father, I didn't want on my SMART goals. But when what you were saying there, you know, you can use the pain or you can use the paradise to motivate you. Mm. I think if it was me 2 years ago starting my journey, I probably would have had that on my phone to look at because I don't want to end up like him. Like that, that would have been a painful motivator for me. You know, if it was me getting in my car and seeing those, it'd be like, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah.
Whereas now, because I've been doing this for a long time, my why, which is why I love having this on my phone, is it's important for me to feel strong and not get left behind. I'm not done yet. I can do this and I will.
Yeah.
So that's my part. And I just love reading it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I couldn't, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
Not getting left behind.
Definitely, it becomes that positive mantra for you. And honestly, you know, I'll just be real with a lot of people that listen. Normally it is pain that gets a lot of people to take action in the beginning. And like, that's okay to some degree. It's just over time, you want to make sure that changes to something more positive. You can't just sit in that pain forever. You know what I mean? You need to, you can use it. It can be a motivator to get you going. But then there has to become more of a positive, intrinsic reason why that you're going to keep taking these actions. Otherwise, you won't last. This is a lifelong game.
That's interesting you say that because, that is probably why mine has changed to be something more positive because I didn't want to sit in that shit anymore. Yeah. And I think motivation's funny as well. You know, you're talking about habits there. As I've got stronger, as I've clocked off those SMART goals every month, as I've chalked off that £4 loss in a month and treated myself and, you know, taken the actions that have been there because I've had clarity. That's been my plan. Mm-hmm. So it has been easier to stay motivated because I've got a clear blueprint of what the hell to do.
100%.
But then like you say, you know, over the course of every single one of those monthly SMART goals, they've added up and the cumulative effect and the compound effect of that and has made me want to do it.
100%. And I think, and this will be really important because a lot of people probably feel like, oh, I start doing that and I feel like I'm getting 1% better. And then something happens, you know, all the shit we talked about before with life and throws a massive curveball in. And then for a lot of people, the default is, oh, I just give up. And again, just taking it back, this is a lifelong game. Those things that happen to me. I get sick. I've had family and friends in the hospital. I've had mad shit happen to me. It happens to us all, you know, and there's also good things, you know, go on vacations, you have a week off, you know, and they throw massive curveballs in. Your default setting can't be when that happens and it throws a curveball in, your default setting is not going to be, I'm just going to go back to my old habits and behaviors because they didn't serve you. Your default setting has got to be, okay, I'm going to get 1% better from this. I'm going to sit down, reflect and be like, why didn't that go well? What could I do differently to create a different outcome? And if you just do that every single time, that is part of getting 1% better.
That's what I did.
That is part of getting 1% better. Yeah. And that is how you grow. So you know, if you think, oh, over the next 365 days, Jamie said, I've got to get 1% better every day. But then you get 1 month in and something happens and you feel like, well, how am I going to get 1% better from this? I've just fucked everything off. Mm-hmm. You get 1% better by reflecting on why that went the way it did.
Yeah.
Taking as many lessons from as you can. I'm moving forward, just getting back on with it.
That is exactly what I did because I have to be honest, I wasn't honest with my coach, which isn't good because every coaching relationship is formed on trust and honest and transparent communication. Yep. And I just was an ostrich and shied away because I was off.
An ostrich.
Put my head in the sand like, want to have cuddles with Sean at 8 o'clock in the morning and not go to the gym and just want to eat popcorn, leave me alone. But I was so annoyed with myself. And it was only, on the grand scheme of things, it was five days being out of my routine.
Yeah.
And, but that, if I think back, that's the longest time I've had off because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. That is the longest time I've had off with my family for 2.5 years. And so.
And that's amazing that you've been able to have that. I just hope yourself and everyone listen, please, 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 in those situations, have the ability to not judge yourself so hardly.
Because
you've still just been able to come back. Yeah, this week's probably not felt like as good as it wanted to. And maybe you wish you'd done a little bit more last week, but you also had a great week with your family, right?
I did. And that so coming back from it and assessing exactly like you said, what have I learned? So I asked myself, what have I learned from this? Well, I've learned that actually I went into that week with too many expectations on myself. I'm going to go to the gym because I'm off. I'm going to run and I'm going to do this and we're going to be dead active. Mm-hmm. And you said it at the very beginning, what's the least I can commit to?
Yeah.
And I should have done it that way. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have been about I'm off, so therefore I'm going to cram all of these things into my week off. It should have been you're off, So chill out, which is actually what I ended up doing.
Yeah.
But if I'd have just given myself the permission slip to be able to do that before the week, I don't think I would have felt the same frustration at myself coming out of my week
that's,
off.
That's great because you've now taken that away and can hopefully apply that
next time. Definitely.
And I think where people fall off and go into that pit of I failed, what's the point, is they judge themselves so harshly. And that's why I'm saying if you can just have the ability to not judge yourself so harshly when shit hits the fan or you just... bleh. You know, that happens when then you just that happens. You just, like, things just, you know, you just wake up and you feel like crap or something else happens. You're just able to just be like, right, I'm not going to repeatedly keep letting this happen. I'm going to reflect on it, learn from it. I'm going to keep moving forward. And it's like, you don't have to show up to the gym or a training session with 100% intensity every time. You know, sometimes it's just showing up that is good enough. And it's just taking all those things on board. So I know the topic of this is like, of this podcast is like, how do you get motivated? Honestly, it comes and goes. It really does. It comes in phases. Sometimes I love my training sessions and I feel great. And other times life feels a little bit harder and I don't really want to go.
Yeah.
That's like 50% of the time. And that's coming from me, who's somebody who knows they need to work out. Mm-hmm. It's about 50% of the time. But the intrinsic reasons why for me is, you know, lots of things we've mentioned about health, but like my mental health is just such a key part. I don't feel like I could deal with the weight of the world and the weight of the world's problems if I didn't have an outlet, which is what exercise is for me. So, you know, all these other things about how am I motivated to do them, I'm motivated to do them by the person I want to be and how I want to show up in the world. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. And I think if you're listening, you've got to ask yourself that question, like, how do you want to show up in the world? You know, do you want to be that negative Nancy who's, you know, not feeling great all the time and just, you know, making excuses and making complaints? Or do you want to change that? Do you want to be a little bit more positive, have a little bit more of a kick in your stride, have a longer life expectancy, be a healthy person, identify as a healthy individual? Guess what?
That's massively important, isn't it? Because a lot of us say, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to get fit. We've talked about the importance of language before, and that is, for me, one of mine. I am a strong and healthy person.
Yeah.
I go to the gym because my identity that you have helped me create is I'm a strong, unfuckable with healthy person, and I am going to the gym not to punish my body, not to see how many calories I can burn, to burn off a popcorn from yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm going because I want to be strong.
Yeah.
No, and it's important.
It is. It's complete, like, you know, when people probably look at me, they will see me, my identity as I'm a fitness person.
Yeah.
That's how they'll look at me. Mm-hmm. But for all you guys listening as well, all your friends and family can see you as a fitness person if you just commit to it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
If you do it for a couple of years, you exercise on a regular basis, you're fit, you're strong, your family and friends will identify you as somebody who regularly exercises and is a fit person. So you're not that far away from becoming that person. You've just got to start to believe it. You've got to talk in that way. And you will start to identify as that person just by repeatedly taking the actions. So all these things are very, very important because, like we said, it's a lifelong game. You've got to be consistent, and there's lots of things that are involved in that. You've got to create disciplines. You've got to create habits. You've got to change your identity. You've got to change your language. If you say, I hate it, like, I know what I'm going to say.
I know what you're going to say. Say it. Come on, I want to have this on record just so I can send it back to you.
So I like procrastinate like hell about doing videos. I always say I hate videos. I don't like doing it. It makes me feel like dead uncomfortable. I get in my own head. I'm always trying to put it off. I have like little mind monkeys trying to just convince.
Tell the story about yesterday. So, because it's funny because you've identified it straight away and it was hilarious.
So we get into the office and, you know, everyone's set up. The lights are set up. The camera's set up. You know, we've read the script. We're about to start filming. And one of the girls come in and she was like, oh, you know, your studio downstairs is going to be ready soon. And, you know, my instinct was like, oh, let's grab everyone, go downstairs and procrastinate by showing everyone the studio. We can do this for an hour and I can put off the video and then hopefully something else will happen and we won't have to film the video. That was my mindset. And I could feel my head doing that. I was going, shut up, Jay. Just like just talking to myself. So I decided to tell everyone, which I gave everyone a good laugh. But, you know, it's like, and I have for so long, I've just said, I hate doing videos. And I'm like, why am I saying this? I know when I speak to clients, I'm telling them not to say that about exercise, not to say that about training, not to say that about other parts, because it matters. That voice in your head, you've got to live with that for the rest of your life. If it's negatively reinforcing actions, you are not going to last.
I'm going to throw something else back at you on this one because I think it will inspire other people. On a scale of expertise at being somebody who is a front man for YouTube. I'm not going to call you a YouTuber because
please don't. Or never call me an influencer, I'll die.
Or as a presenter then, because that is exactly what you're doing. You are professionally presenting researched information for your audience. On the scale of expertise, would you place yourself as beginner, intermediate or advanced?
On presenter?
Yeah.
Intermediate.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say beginner because I was going to throw your own thing back at you and say you've got to allow yourself to be a beginner because that's where you make the most gains.
Oh, 100%, 100%. You know the reason I probably really
I'm not going to say you hate video.
The reason that I probably feel like that about video is that it feels uncomfortable being in front of a camera. It feels uncomfortable. Lots of different things. Speaking, I've got a lots of stuff. I feel uncomfortable about doing it, but I am slowly getting better. And I think that's probably the same when if you've never exercised in your life, it's like, what is all this?
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
It is. You know what I mean? I think it's just the same thing. The same thing I'm doing with the video, the same thing you can do with exercise, the same thing you can do with nutrition, the same thing you can do with one healthy habit. You just start. You just start and start putting one foot in front of the other, and consistency. Over time, you will get better. You will start to increase that, the skill at that, and it will become easier. You know, it always feels, the best way I can describe how difficult something new feels is if you've ever started a new job, the first couple of weeks there are so overwhelming, so mentally exhausting because there's so many new things going on. But then after a couple of weeks, couple of months, it all fits in, feels a lot easier. You know, you feel like you're back on a stride, you know where you're going, you know what's going on. And again, same thing with lots of parts of your health, fitness and nutrition. You can get it to where it feels a lot easier, a lot smoother. And you can start to get a lot of it on autopilot. The reason I don't need to be motivated, so much of parts of my health and fitness are on autopilot. I don't think about drinking water all the time, I just do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I have to think about, I plan my workouts in each week. That's always something that's done. It's in my schedule, in my diary. You know, sleep. Definitely have to flex that discipline muscle when I'm watching a really good Netflix series. Watch one episode and there's like a cliffhanger at the end. I'm like, no, I want to watch the next one.
I've got a top tip for you on that.
Oh yeah, I know what you said on this.
Right, I've got a friend. Hey, this is brilliant. Because they were getting so frustrated with their revenge bedtime procrastination, they were watching too much telly at night. Mm-hmm. So they had to do this first of all with one episode. They watched to the halfway mark.
Right.
And then the next night, they start from the halfway mark of episode one and go to the halfway mark of episode two.
Yeah.
So that you can't end on a cliffhanger and that little box does the box of doom.
And it
doesn't
pops
appear.
Up, play the next episode in 5 seconds.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. Yeah, I think that is absolute genius.
Yeah, definitely. You know, these are all like little hacks that you almost have to create for yourself and your partner to that. If you know you get a bad night's sleep, you don't go to the gym the next day. Like the problem you've got to fix is the bad night's sleep.
Yeah.
So then you've got to address like, do we need to not watch TV in bed? Do we need to not put our phones in the bedroom? You know, you've got to address what that problem is, because by solving that problem, you will be more motivated to work out and that will increase your consistency. So there's everything that comes down to all of this is self-awareness. You've got self-awareness and then it's just slowly problem solving over time to help to become more consistent.
I think there's two other things that we haven't covered on this, because we're talking about being motivated yourself, like personally having to, Mel Robbins talks about this, having to parent yourself.
100%.
There ain't nobody going to come and do it for you. You've got to parent yourself. And she's famous for the 5 second rule. I use this all the time. I don't know if you do.
I do.
I when my alarm goes off in the morning, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right, I've got to get up because I've got to give my brain no wiggle room to talk me out of it. So she's great for parenting yourself. But when it comes to being motivated, I know this, that being accountable to someone else, a specific person or a process is massively helpful.
So I think this is important. If you've been somebody that's repeatedly struggled with this for years, decades, I think accountability is amazing. And that's why I'm such a big advocate of coaching, because it cuts the learning curve, but you've also got someone to really hold you accountable. But our goal with every client is that you eventually don't need a coach. You become accountable to yourself. You become accountable to the life that, and the body that you've created. And that is the goal that everyone should be striving for, is to get to a point where you become unfuckable, because you have that level of self-trust doesn't matter what happens, I know what I need to do to get back on track or to keep the ball rolling. So accountability, probably one of the most powerful things you can use in the beginning. So powerful, because I think you filmed me the statistics on this. Like,
do you want me to do my statistics?
Oh, go on. Yes, please.
According to the Association for Talent Development, you are 95% more likely to achieve a specific goal when you are accountable to a person or a process.
That is insane. And honestly, it's definitely insane. It's obviously, it's what we do. It's a big part of coaching. So no, accountability is absolutely massive. But the end goal, and we tell all our clients this because we have created a level system where people, we've gamified it. You go through level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where you learn certain behaviors and habits and education and character traits that you eventually get to a place called graduation. And when you graduate, that is basically the ticket of like, you have now become unfuckable. You know how to navigate life no matter what gets thrown at you. And that's a process. There's a process in making that happen. And it doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't happen in 6 weeks.
No, not at all.
No.
I've got one final one I want to throw out there. Okay. It's one that I love and teach. So to kind of pre-frame this, I have written books about stopping procrastinating. So motivation is like a big topic for me. I am somebody who massively struggles with procrastination, but over the last 5 years have nailed it because I've put all of these practices into place. One of the most powerful things, it's chapter 13 in my second book, and it's the one my readers come back to all the time. If you have got yourself in a position where you cannot seem to take action, you've got to Elsa the shit out of it.
Okay.
You've got to forgive yourself and let it go, because often we end up stuck in this shame of failure. Like, I can't do this because I've failed so many times before. It's that mentality of diet starts Monday, diet starts Monday. And when it doesn't, and you tell yourself you can't do things, and over time that absolutely eats away at you. And
100%, it just chips. You know, if you've dieted for 20 years and still not figured this out, you can just start identifying as a person. Maybe it was like, it's just not meant to be.
Exactly. I can't do that.
Yeah, and you can't. And coming back to not having the ability, to just not judge yourself so harshly. You know, sometimes the diet industry and the fitness industry set you up to fail. They never set you up for success. And then you've just built up all these walls and barriers to all these things and just started to identify, you know what, maybe it's just not for me. And that isn't the case. I do promise everyone out there, you can get the results you want.
Absolutely.
100%. But anyway, where can people get your books, Jem?
Oh, thanks. Amazon, just search for me. Gemma Ray. Just search me on Amazon. Yeah, it's called Stop Procrastinating and Start Living.
Book?
And self-discipline, and stop procrastinating in six steps. But with the forgiveness piece, I've done that in the past. In fact, I think I did that on Monday. I forgive myself for taking a week off and enjoying myself kind of thing. It's there's studies about it, and I will link those studies in the show notes. The power of forgiving yourself and hypothetically wiping the slate clean can really help you take action. And on that, taking action, you talked about it then, you know, the diet industry has set you up to fail so many times. I'm going to say this, not you. I think that one of the best videos that we've ever done, which helped me personally, was when you dressed up as James Bond, not because you look great in your suit, not for that reason, but it's called The Secret to Fat Loss. And again, I'll put that in the show notes, or you can email me. I put the email in the last podcast episode, gemma@bodysmartfitness.com. I'll send you this, because it helps people understand exactly how fat loss works, so you don't get confused with a lot of the BS out there. And I think that, like, I'm super proud of that video. I send it to so many people because it's so helpful. And I think if you're looking for motivation, you talk there about clarity. Let's help people get clarity on how you actually do it in the first place.
Definitely. 100%.
So yes, I will pop that video in the show notes.
Because that is what our brand's hashtag is all about. It's cutting the BS with the diet and fitness industry out there, and putting out the right information that people need, and putting in a clear, concise way. But also, very much as we've spoken about here, cutting the BS with yourself, getting out your own way, getting to another place where you become unfuckable with. You know what I mean? Just like, not in a sexual way, definitely the opposite way.
No, I know. I love that phrase. Yeah,
it's just because life is going to happen to all of us. Yeah. And if you just feel like your character, your identity is someone that can just deal with that stuff, you're set up for life. You're in a great place.
You really are. And if you want to get set up and you're ready and you're committed and you're invested into coaching, where can people apply for one-to-one fitness, nutrition and mindset coaching with Body Smart?
They can go over to bodysmartfitness.com or they can visit our Instagram and put the link in the bio.
Yeah, or DM us. Hashtag results. One of our amazing team will have a little natter with you about
your
goals.
They will. They most certainly will.
Yeah. But thank you very much for listening. My name's Gemma.
And I'm Jamie.
And we'll see you on the next episode.